We'll turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we've come this morning to verse 45. Now, as we've gone through this chapter, we've been trying to bring out one central lesson. This morning, what I want to do is to draw together the threads and to try and to spell out that lesson in all its clarity. At the beginning of this chapter, Martha and Mary send a message to the Lord Jesus, a very simple message. Lord, the one you love, that's Lazarus, their brother, Lord, the one you love is sick. It's a cry for help. Martha and Mary are in a desperate, agonizing situation. Their brother is dying before their eyes. And so they cry to the Lord Jesus for help. They want him to come. They want him to come and to heal their brother before it's too late. They're confident that he has the power to do that. They know that he has extraordinary, God-given, miraculous power. And so they appeal to him. They desperately want the Lord Jesus to come into their heartbreaking situation. This is prayer. Real prayer. It's a cry from the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord Jesus does not answer their prayer straight away. And when he does answer it, he does not answer it in the way that they expect. They expect that he will come immediately to help, and he doesn't. He keeps them waiting. And when he does arrive, Lazarus is dead and buried. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. And it seems to them that Jesus has failed to answer their prayer. He did not come until it was too late. And yet, what we've seen going through the chapter is that their prayer was going to be answered in a far more wonderful way than they could ever have imagined. Their prayer was going to trigger vastly bigger events than they could possibly have conceived. God was working out his plan in this situation. And it was a plan on a vastly wider scale than they could possibly have begun to conceive. The Lord Jesus says in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." God was planning to bring huge glory to his Son, the Lord Jesus, through these events. And he was going to do it in a way that the sisters could never have believed. They were sure that the best thing to happen, the best possible thing that could happen in this situation, would be that Jesus would come straight away and heal their brother. That's what they wanted. That's what they were longing for. That's what they were praying. He must come now. He must come now. He must heal our brother before he dies. But God's plan in this situation was much bigger, much more wonderful than that. Their prayer was not wasted. No real prayer is ever wasted. Mary and Martha are believers. They belong to the Lord Jesus. He loves them. And when any believer cries from the heart to the Lord Jesus, his prayers are heard. But it may be that his prayers will be answered in ways far more wonderful than we imagine. and it may be that the answers will take longer to come than we ever thought possible. The Lord Jesus may not answer our prayers straight away, and he may not answer them in the way that we want, but in the end he will answer them in far more wonderful ways than we could ever imagine. He will answer them in the ways that God the Father has planned. And that is the way that will bring God most glory and ourselves most happiness in the long run. So just think of some of the things that we've seen happening in this chapter as a result of Martha and Mary's prayer, as a result of that message they sent to the Lord Jesus. We've seen how Jesus' disciples are changed through what happens. They have to decide whether they're willing to go up to Jerusalem and face death with the Lord Jesus. They're confronted with that crossroads in their experience. And it's Thomas who says to the rest of the disciples in verse 16, "Let us also go with him, that we may die with him." For them, this is a tremendous turning point. And then these disciples are allowed to witness this astonishing miracle. When Lazarus is raised to life after 4 days in the tomb, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 14, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." It was vital for the disciples that the Lord Jesus didn't go straight away when he got the message. Seeing Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days strengthened the faith of these disciples in a way that nothing else could have done. It became a vital part of God's preparation for all the work that they were going to do in the years ahead. So that was one outcome of these events that Martha and Mary could never have conceived of. The impact it would have on Jesus' disciples. And then we've seen how Martha and Mary themselves are changed by these events. The Lord Jesus speaks to Martha those great words in verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." And the Lord Jesus says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" He proclaims himself as the all-sufficient Lord of life. He says that to have him is to have life that will never end, eternal life. And he confronts Martha with the question, "Do you believe it?" And Martha, whose brother is lying in the grave, Martha, who has just watched her brother's life ebb away, says, "Lord, I believe that death is defeated where you are present. I believe that you are life, everlasting life." Those days of waiting when there seemed no answer to prayer have tested Martha's faith to the very limits. But now her faith shines out with a certainty, a brilliance, a single-mindedness that could never have come about in any other way. Nothing's happened in one sense. Jesus hasn't cured her brother. Her brother is still in the grave. There's been no intervention yet. And yet she hears those bare words from the Lord Jesus. And in the very shadow of the grave, she can say, "I believe." And then think about what was revealed about the Lord Jesus himself through these events. if the Lord Jesus had come straight away when the sisters sent him that message, if he had healed Lazarus, well then they would have known that Jesus cared about them. It would have been a real demonstration of Jesus' loving care for that family. But how much they'd have missed seeing. They would never have seen the anger of Jesus. You remember how we've seen the way that the Lord Jesus became angry when he came to that village. When he saw the pain that they were going through. You remember we saw last week that when the Lord Jesus saw Mary weeping, when he saw her lying on the floor heartbroken, Jesus was angry. Angry that one of his people had been hurt in that way. Angry that suffering and death should have attacked that family which he loved. Aren't you glad to know that God is angry? Angry against all the misery and all the ugliness and all the pain that's invaded the world. Aren't you glad that God is angry when his people suffer? But we would never have known that if Jesus had not come just when he did. For me, that's where the glory of God shines out most brightly in this passage. Jesus said, God's glory is going to be seen in this situation. And to me, it is part of the glory of God that he has this sort of holy love for his people, that he feels for them so intensely, that he feels so protective towards them, that he burns with indignation when they're hurt, that he's ready to fight on their behalf. I'm catching here a glimpse of God's heart that I wouldn't otherwise have seen anywhere. You know, there can be a tremendous comfort in knowing that someone is angry on your behalf. You know, you feel that you've been wronged by somebody else, maybe your boss at work, and there isn't a thing you can do about it. And then a friend of yours phones you up. He's heard about it. And he's so angry about the way you've been treated. And he's planning to take the matter up on your behalf. And he's going to fight for you. Well, there can be tremendous comfort in that, can't there? To know that you've a friend with that sort of burning loyalty. A friend who burns with indignation on your behalf. And when the Lord Jesus saw Mary weeping, he burned for her. And not only does the Lord Jesus burn with anger in this passage, we've seen the Lord Jesus weeping. Again, it's part of the glory of God revealed here. That the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God visible, can weep. That the great infinite creator, who is so high above us, eternally happy within himself, that he can give himself to us so completely that he weeps for us and with us. It's amazing that he, the great, untouchable, majestic God, the God whom nobody can assault directly, the God who needs nothing and nobody, has chosen to love tiny, wretched little creatures on this one planet, and to love them with such a love that he breaks his heart over them. You know, I might grieve for a suffering dog or an injured cat. But you know, I don't think I'd break my heart over an earwig or a mosquito. But the infinite Lord and Creator, who is as high above me as I am above an earwig, that Creator weeps for me and with me when I weep. The infinite Lord and Creator stood outside a tomb and he sobbed his heart out for the pains of his people. Now, if Mary's prayer had been answered when and how she hoped, she would never have seen the Lord Jesus sobbing. She would never have known how utterly he loved her. She would never have had the comfort of his tears. And then if that prayer had been answered when and how Martha and Mary expected, they would never have heard Jesus' thanksgiving outside the tomb. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the tomb, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you. You've heard me. I knew you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Father, I thank you that you've heard me." It's a cry of triumph, isn't it? Father, you've given me the right, the power to break the hold of death and to set my people free. And Father, I thank you. I've wept in this situation. I've raged in this situation. But now I rejoice in this situation, because you, Father, have given me the authority and the power to rescue my people from death. If Martha and Mary's prayer had been answered in the way they expected, we would never have heard that cry of victory from the Lord Jesus Christ. But from that moment, every time we lay a believer in the grave, we remember that cry of triumph. And we see in our mind's eye Jesus standing with the tears still on his cheeks and giving thanks. "Father, I thank you, because my people are going to live. Death, you cannot win, because my Father has heard my prayers for my people." Again, the glory of God in Jesus Christ is shining out, isn't it? Christ's rejoicing in the face of suffering and death. Not because he doesn't care, but because he's going to win, and he knows it. Because he knows he's got the power to abolish sin and suffering and death forever. Because he knows he's going to banish them from his universe. And then there's that moment of absolute triumph, isn't there? When the Lord Jesus summons the dead man from the tomb with that one great state command, "Lazarus, come out." And hell is shaken to its foundations in that moment, because Jesus has defeated death. And if the Father has given him the right to rescue this one man for a little while from death, then surely he's going to set all his people free one day from death forever. "Father, I know that you always hear me." You remember I spoke of the boy David going out to confront giant Goliath. The cruel, boastful enemy of God's people. And David takes his sling, and that one small stone flies through the air, and Goliath hits the ground like a thunderclap.
And David rushes forward and he seizes Goliath's own sword. And he swings it just once. And then he's holding the giant's head aloft. I want you to imagine at that moment the whole Israelite army erupting in one huge shout of triumph. And so it was at that moment when Lazarus walked out of the tomb. All the unseen spectators in heaven, all the hosts of angels must have been cheering because giant death had been humbled by great David's greater son. Death, be not proud. Though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou canst overthrow, die not. Poor death, nor canst thou kill me. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. That sort of triumph that rings through the universe when Lazarus walks out of that tomb. The glory of God in that moment blazes out in Jesus Christ. God has shown himself the defeater of death. God has shown himself the source of eternal life. God has shown himself the rescuer. God the conqueror. But if Mary and Martha had been given what they asked for when they asked for it, then that universe-shattering moment of triumph would not have happened. And then read verse 45 to see a further dimension. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. Now the word Jews in John's Gospel usually means the people of Judea, Jerusalem and the area round about, as opposed to, let's say, the people of Galilee. Now, remember, we had that long section of John's Gospel, chapters 7 to 10, where Jesus was living and working in Jerusalem, preaching in the temple every day, debating with the Jewish leaders. You remember how he performed that miracle when he healed a man born blind, and all that followed from that. But do you remember in chapter 10 verse 40 that we read there that the Lord Jesus left Jerusalem and Judea and he went back across the Jordan? Now why did he do that? Well, because he had been completely rejected by the Jews, by the people of Jerusalem. Chapter 8 verse 59, they picked up stones to stone him. Chapter 10 verse 31, again they picked up stones to stone him. Chapter 10 verse 39, again they tried to seize him. The Lord Jesus left Jerusalem because he was unwanted, because he had been completely rejected. But now the Lord Jesus has come back to Judea. Why? Because of the message he's received from Martha and Mary. It's their prayer that's brought him back to Judea. The Jews are being given, by God's grace, another opportunity to see the Lord Jesus, and to repent, and to turn to him, and to believe, after all their hardness of heart, after all their brutality, after their attempts to stone Jesus to death. They're being given, in God's mercy, another opportunity. God's grace is being extended to them again. And how has it come about? It's come about through the prayer of Martha and Mary. If they had been given what they had asked for, when and how they wanted, then this opportunity would never have come again for these Jewish people. And these Jews have been given the most extraordinary and wonderful sign possible. They've been allowed to see Jesus Christ triumphing over death. They were there when the stone was rolled away from the tomb. They smelt that awful smell of decay when the tomb was opened. They knew that Lazarus was dead and decomposing. And then they heard that triumphant command, "Lazarus, come out!" And they saw it. They saw that dead man walking out strong and well from the tomb. And we read many of them who had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. They came to mourn with Mary, but they stayed to worship. They stayed amazed, overwhelmed by what they had seen of Jesus Christ. Now remember this too, that these were Mary and Martha's friends, and almost certainly their relatives. They've come to join the family mourning. These were people who Mary and Martha cared about very much. And yet up until now, these people had never shared Mary and Martha's faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm sure Mary and Martha and Lazarus must have spoken to these people many times about the Lord Jesus. I'm sure they must have invited these people to meet the Lord Jesus. They must have taken them to hear the Lord Jesus preach. And yet these people, right up to this day, had remained hardened and unbelieving and worldly. And yet God was planning to save many of those friends. And he was going to do it in a way that Mary and Martha had never imagined. Let me say it again. If their prayer had been answered when and how they had hoped, their friends would never have come to Christ. I wonder if that was part of the sisters' torment when Jesus didn't come. What will our friends say? We've been telling them how much Jesus cares. We've been telling them how he can heal any illness. We've been talking about how merciful he is and how he always meets our needs. But what will our friends say now when they hear that we sent him a message and he couldn't even be bothered to answer? They'll never believe now. They'll never believe. And indeed, you can see in verse 37 that there were some who did react that way. Some of them said, "Couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" He's let Mary and Martha down, hasn't he? Why should any of us trust him? These people have been given, it seems, an excuse for rejecting Christ. But our God knows exactly what he's doing. He had planned it all. The sisters have the joy not only of seeing their brother raised from physical death. They see many of their friends. They see many of their relatives rescued from spiritual death. What celebration, what joy, what delight there must have been in that home that night as the friends, the relatives gather around the feet of the Lord Jesus. These were people who 24 hours earlier were skeptical about Jesus. These were people who laughed. These were people who sneered. And now they're sitting and they're listening to the Lord Jesus as he speaks the words of life. How different their whole attitude is now. Their hardness, their unbelief, their hostility, it's all melted away. They've seen this great sign. And now they're ready to listen to Jesus and to believe in him and to turn from their sins, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship him.
We've asked the same question again and again. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth those days of agonizing waiting when Jesus didn't come? Was it worth the frustration and the disappointment and the sense of betrayal? Was it worth those agonized days when Lazarus died and when they had to carry him to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there? Was it worth it? When she sees them worshipping at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Oh, in a moment the pain of these past days has been obliterated in a great overwhelming